Romans 15:29. The Apostle Paul says this: I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we have the record of the vision that the Apostle Paul had, where the man of Macedonia said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now this morning, I'd like to have us think for the moments that are before us about the answer to the cry of our needy world. The Apostle Paul was writing to Christians in Rome in this epistle. As far as we know, the Apostle Paul had never been to Rome, but the Christians were there, and how they got there, we're not exactly sure. We know that there were people from Rome in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost where they heard the gospel. It could be that some of those got saved that day and went back to Rome and started witnessing for Christ, and the work began to grow from that source. It may be also that the Apostle Paul had ministered to some of these people in other parts of the world of that day. They, in turn, in due season, had moved to Rome, because we know from the last part of this epistle that he knew an awful lot of people who were in Rome. So how they got there and how he had contact with them, we're not exactly sure. But that really doesn't matter. He was very anxious to get to them. Now, he was anxious because they were, in his estimation, I suppose, young converts. And he knew that he had a ministry for them, and he was anxious to get to them. But when we read the early verses of this great epistle to the Romans, we realize from chapter 1 and verses 14 and on that he had a tremendous burden also for the lost in Rome, the unsaved, where in this portion he writes, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So his burden was a double-barreled burden. It was for the Christians, the young converts in Rome that needed his ministry, but also for those in Rome who did not know the Lord. And in our text, he says, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I believe that that is Paul's response to the cry of our needy world. Now, of course, the cry, it comes and very well articulated for us in the 16th chapter of Acts, where in a vision, the man actually said, come over into Macedonia and help us. This morning, in the time that we have, I'd like to have us think about the cry of our needy world and also about the answer to that cry, God's answer to that cry. First of all, the cry of our needy world. And I don't know whether you've thought much about this or not, but I think that we ought to realize that a great many, perhaps all, of the great saints have been aware of the cry of our needy world, and that is a part of the motivation that drove them. I'm sure that Peter heard the cry of a needy world. I'm sure that he was aware of it on the day of Pentecost. When I don't know whether it was the midst or near the end of that great sermon he preached on the day of Pentecost, people stopped him and said, what must we do? Well, that in itself is a manifestation of the cry that comes from the hearts of people who do not know the Lord. What shall we do? And then it wasn't very many hours after that he had the privilege with others, of course, I'm sure he had some help on this, to baptize 3,000 people who had received Christ as Savior, an evidence that there had been a cry in their hearts, and they had found the answer to that cry in Christ Jesus, and he was aware that day, as he never had before, I'm sure, of the cry that comes from our needy world. I'm sure as we move through the book of Acts in chapter 4, we read in the 4th verse of chapter 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I believe that he realized that cry of our needy world when other thousands were added to the then growing church. I'm sure that he was aware of the cry of the needy world when he noticed and knew that day by day the Lord was adding to the church such as were being saved. I'm sure also that as it is indicated in chapter 5 and verse 14, where it says, multitudes were added to the church. He was aware of this. He was a party to all of this. And every time there is a move toward Christ, there's an indication of the cry and the need of our world. Now, we could go down through the book of Acts and spend some time pursuing this. You remember that it wasn't too long after the church started on the day of Pentecost that the crowds got so large in the professing church that the apostles could not take care of them anymore. And so in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 1, it says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, and so on, it begins to describe a problem that they had. Well, I'm sure as he saw that group of believers growing, he was also reminded of the cry of the heathen world. In the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, there are indications of that cry as well, I'm sure, of which he was aware. He was called down to the city of Samaria to minister to a group of people that had received Christ as Savior under the ministry of Philip, you may remember. In verses 5 and 6 in the 8th chapter of Acts, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There was a need there, and they responded to this ministry. But notice in verses 14 and 15, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now Peter was the emissary that came from Jerusalem to Samaria, or went up to Samaria, and again it was impressed upon him, I'm sure, the cry that comes from the hearts of people in this needy world of ours. One other illustration of the circumstances, I'm sure, that impressed Peter with the cry of our needy world is found in the 10th chapter of Acts when he went into the home of Cornelius. In the 25th verse, Peter finally arrived at Cornelius's home. Cornelius met him, fell down on his feet, and worshipped him. Peter stopped him at that. And you'll notice in verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the home of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Now notice verse 33, a tremendous manifestation of the cry of the human heart. Immediately therefore, Cornelius said, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Oh, what a challenge. Here we are. We're ready for you. Tell us the story, whatever it is. You're God's messenger. Tell us. We're here assembled for that very purpose. He had gathered in his relatives, his friends, and there they were waiting for this man Peter and his ministry. I'm sure that in all of that he heard the cry of a needy world. Paul was aware of this cry, and that's one of the reasons why he said to the people in Rome, I shall come. Now, when the Lord Jesus gave the Apostle Paul his great commission, he gave him a special individual commission, you know, and it's recorded in the 26th chapter of Acts. In verse 18, you have finalized and epitomized here, I think. He had just said in verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And this is the purpose of it, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I dare say that the Apostle Paul never forgot that. In fact, he said he had not been disobedient to the heavenly vision all his life as a Christian. It stayed with him that there was a multitude of people out there who were in darkness. They were to have their eyes opened. They needed to come from the power of Satan unto God. They needed to receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among the children of God. A cry came, I'm sure, to his attention on that particular occasion. Well, now, I think this morning I'll not take you through the book of Acts as we might survey the many occasions when that cry was apparent to him, but let me pick out one or two. You remember that the church in Antioch in Syria was the church that sent Paul and Barnabas out in the first place. And when Paul left, he went to the island of Cyprus. And I want you to notice in the 13th chapter of Acts, it says that in the verse 7, this island was ruled over by a man by the name of Sergius Paulus. Notice it says in verse 7, he was a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, if that isn't another evidence of the cry of a needy world, come over and tell us. And there he was. And at the very beginning of his first missionary tour, he ran into this cry from a needy world. And, of course, the devil tried to stop this fellow, Sergius Paulus, from hearing the gospel. He had, the devil had his henchman there, Elymas the sorcerer, and tried to turn him away. But you'll notice in verse 12, it says, the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So Paul was initiated at the very beginning of his missionary journey into this cry from a needy world. Now in the 16th chapter of Acts is the text that we had, beginning in verse 9, where a vision appeared to him in the city of Troas. And it was in that vision that a man stood, a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. This was a vivid manifestation again of the cry of a needy world. And Paul never could get away from that, I'm sure. I'm sure while in that city, he moved out right away, of course. And as soon as he had arrived in Philippi, there was that girl possessed of a demon crying out, following him around the city. And I'm sure he recognized there a tremendous need for the liberation of Christ. And it was in the city of Philippi that Philippian jailer and his family responded to the gospel and were saved. And time and again through his ministry, he was very much aware of the need of the people. When he arrived in Athens, he saw the people wholly given over to idolatry. What does that mean? It means that they're looking out, they're reaching out, they're crying for help. He noticed in the city of Athens an idol to the unknown God. And he realized that that certainly was an evidence of this need that they had. And he had the answer for them. But there was the need. When he arrived in the city of Corinth, he was pressed in his spirit tremendously as he saw the wickedness of that city and the need for the gospel. I want you to turn to the 18th chapter of Acts, please, because God did something for Paul in the city of Corinth that intensified his awareness, I'm sure, of the cry and the need of his world, which is certainly our world. Notice in the 18th chapter of Acts, In verse 5, it says, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He was getting under the pressure of this great need and the challenge before him. Now notice verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Another evidence to Paul that he was meeting a need and he was answering a cry that was coming out of the city of Corinth. But notice in verses 9 and 10. Evidently, as I've mentioned on some other occasions and other connections, there was something about Paul's experiences up to this time that intimidated him and made him afraid to be as outspoken as he had been before. Notice in verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. I'm at after the last part of that statement, particularly, where Jesus said to him, I have much people in this city. Paul didn't know who they were. They were not Christians yet, but the Lord had them labeled. They were his. He said, I have much people in this city. Certainly, that would intensify his awareness of the tremendous need. Now, what we see in the Bible, of course, has been continued on down through the years, and that cry has been coming through the years. Our missionaries, other missionaries, have heard this cry. Chiefs saying, come on over into my village and tell this story to my people. The missionaries so busy, and where they were at the moment, they couldn't move, but here was the chiefs saying, come, come, and they couldn't come in many cases. And where natives would ask them after they got acquainted with them, why didn't you come sooner? This cry from our needy world emphasized in that way. As our missionaries have seen the fear in the hearts of the natives, as they've seen the poverty of the people because of their offerings that they have to make to their heathen gods, pauperizing themselves, as they witness demon possession in the fields of the world, the cry comes and the need is evident. The immorality connected with the mission fields and the heathen worship as well. Cruelty and suffering, lawlessness, witchcraft, animal sacrifices, human sacrifices, slaves taken, stolen, twins when they're born in some fields, murdered because of their heathen superstitions, trial by ordeal, slaves sometimes buried alive with their masters when their masters would die. Someone sensing and realizing this cry of our needy world has penned these words. It's entitled The Cry of the Millions Enslaved. A cry comes far o'er the sea from the lands where gloom is appalling, a despairing cry from the souls that die, for help they now are calling. A cry of the millions enslaved by the chains that no man can sever, where through life's long day fear of doom holds sway, and comfort cometh never. You and I need to realize that there is coming from our needy world a great cry. I was reading the other day a missionary letter from our brother Schlenner down in Brazil, and he was telling about two of their people who traveled 240 miles to get to where he was, where he was going to conduct a short Bible Institute. Evidence of the hunger, the cry, the evident need on the part of these people. Now, let us remember that there is a scriptural answer to this cry, and Paul gave it to us in that Romans 15:29 passage. He said, I shall come. Now, I would say to you that God's answer to the cry of a needy world is a person who is willing to help. Now, Paul was willing to help, and he said, I will come, or I shall come. He was willing because he loved the Lord. He was willing because he loved to do the will of God. The Lord had revealed to him what his will was in that special commission that he gave him, Acts 26:18. and he was delighted to do that which is the will of the Lord. And he was willing because he owed it to the Lord. You remember in 2 Corinthians 5, he said that those who have been saved should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Paul realized that. He was not only preaching that, but he believed that. He operated that way. And he was willing because he was conscious of a debt that he owed. And in that very Roman epistle, you remember, he said in that first chapter, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Therefore, I'm ready to come and preach the gospel to you at Rome also. He was ready because of his sense of indebtedness. But I think that basically the same motivation has driven all Christian workers. Now, we know the names of some of the great ones, William Carey, who lived in a world when there was practically no mission activity in the world at all. And he received this impression of the tremendous need and the cry of a needy world and started what is known as modern missions. The great name of Hudson Taylor, who was a man who moved the great nation of China. Jonathan Goforth as well. Mary Schlesser, R.A. Jaffrey. R.A. Jaffrey was a missionary that most of us here are not familiar with. I was familiar with him because he was a Christian Missionary Alliance missionary. But this man was the son of the owner of the Toronto Sun. He was heir to a great fortune and a great future ahead of him. He turned it all down and went out to serve the Lord. And he was used of God to open up South China, to open up what was then Indochina, Vietnam now, and what is now Borneo, the Netherlands East Indies. Three great mission fields were opened by this man. But he was a man who knew something about the cry of a needy world. Those who knew him have said that if you were in conversation with him, sometimes you would be aware that he wasn't with you. He was not following you. And if you'd get real close to him, you'd hear him murmuring something like, they must hear the gospel. They must hear the gospel. It was a burden on his heart, a consciousness of the need of our great unsaved world. A man who knew something about that cry. Don Ketchum of Bangladesh, Dr. Vigio Olson, these men certainly knew of that. Our own young people who are going out to the mission field these days have a sense of that need and that cry as well. It's not something that's just confined to Bible characters and some of the great saints in days gone by. The young lady who spoke to us a little earlier in this service has also heard the cry of a needy world and is going to meet that need. And so the first part of the answer to the cry of a needy world is a person who is willing to go. But the second part is a person who is not only willing to go, but who is prepared to go. Now, Paul was such a person. He was prepared to come, he said, to the Romans in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This, of course, means that he was saved, but it also means that he was walking with the Lord. He was separated from the world. He was separated unto God. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And thus he could come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And I think that this preparedness on the part of the Apostle Paul included a number of things. One thing that it included was his promptness and his willingness to do what the Lord wanted him to do immediately. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. I think we might say also that his readiness and his preparedness was seen in his willingness and his promptness to do what God wanted him to do, regardless of what it was going to cost him personally. And that's where the Lord runs up into problems, against problems in our lives. Because we have our plan. And if his will clashes with our plans, then he's got a problem. We have a problem. But Paul was prepared because he did not have that problem. He was ready and willing, promptly do what God wanted him to do, regardless of any personal cost to himself. Now, I think that this meant a number of things. Let me quickly run over this, because this we must get a hold of. If we're going to be used of God to meet that need in our world, we're going to have to approximate what the Apostle Paul had. And I believe that Paul, when he said, "I shall come," he meant that he had eliminated from rivalry with the will of God himself, his loved ones, his friends, his home, his business, or his job, whatever that was, and his own personal plans. I believe that's what it means when we say, "Lord, have your way." I believe it means that we have removed or eliminated from a place of rivalry with the will of God all of these things: ourselves, our personal plans, our loved ones, our friends, our homes, our businesses, our personal plans, whatever it may include. I believe that is exactly what is meant. And unless we are in a place like that, we are really not prepared to be used of God to meet the need of this world that's crying for help. We need to bear this in mind. Paul had a passion to make Christ known. He had no strings on him. He would not tolerate any strings on him. Paul was prepared because he was not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, there's a lot of other things. Many people today are prepared in this same way. This business of being prepared is, as I said before, is not relegated to Bible characters in ancient days or some of these great names through the history of the church, but there are people today who are prepared in this same way and ready. They're not only willing, but they're prepared. And they are prepared to obey the Lord immediately. They're prepared to obey him regardless of any personal cost. And they have eliminated from a place of rivalry themselves and their loved ones and their friends and their homes and their businesses and their personal plans. And they are prepared to go. Now, I dare say that Gloria has done all of that, and she is prepared to go to the people in Mexico who are crying. Some of them don't know it, but down deep in their hearts there's a cry that will never be satisfied unless they're introduced to Jesus Christ. And she's ready and prepared to go. The cry is still coming from our world. The world still needs help. It needs the message of Christ. Paul was going to take the gospel of Christ to these people. "I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." We need to tune our hearts to this cry today. And when I say we, I am talking about your pastor as well as the congregation. We need to tune our hearts to this cry of a needy world, our needy world. Perhaps we will need to tune out some other cries that maybe are dominating our attention and causing us to be hard of hearing to the cry of our needy world. The answer today to the cry is the same as it always has been: a person who is willing and a person who is prepared to help them. I ask you this morning, have you answered the cry of our needy world? Have you said, "I shall come"? Have you said, "I shall come as a full-time Christian worker"? Or have you said, "I shall come as a part-time Christian worker"? And in either case, it may be the will of God for you. It's not God's will that everyone be in full-time Christian service in the sense of that we use it today. We're all in full-time Christian service, but some of us are more free to serve the Lord than others in that area. It might be that your years would indicate that you're not expected to go into full-time Christian service, but let me say that you can answer the cry by saying, "I shall come," by a prayer ministry, I shall come with my finances. I will come with my testimony whenever I can give it. I will come by passing out tracts as I am able. There are a lot of things we can do, even though we have passed that age where we would normally leave everything and go out into full-time Christian service. Let's remember this as we close the service this morning, that it is the will of God that every Christian be definitely involved in some way in answering the cry of our needy world. And I ask you, have you found your place in all of that? And are you filling your place in all of that? Let's bow in prayer together. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, it may be that the Lord has spoken to someone here this morning, or perhaps a number. You know there's a cry coming from a heathen world, a lost world, even a cry coming from untaught believers across the land. There's great need out there. And maybe God has spoken to you this morning and you realize that He's looking to you to be willing to be used to help those in need, to be prepared to help those in need. And by your upraised hand, you'd say, Pastor, remember me, because God has spoken to me very definitely about making myself available to meet the need and to answer the cry of this world in which we live. Would you, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians are praying, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, remember me in prayer, because God has spoken to me in this matter of being really involved in answering the cry of a needy world. Anyone here this morning who would indicate that and also ask for prayer in that regard? Is there someone here this morning who is not a Christian and you're in that sense a part of that needy world and you're crying out for reality and you know that Christ is the answer, and you'd raise your hand and say, remember me in prayer. I am deciding for Christ this morning. I'm receiving Him as my personal Savior. Thank you. See your hand there. Lord bless you. We wait just a moment. I remember that there is a sign over our church door saying that as we go out that you're now entering a mission field. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for this one who raised his hand this morning. Pray, Lord, that you will meet the cry of this dear person's heart. We know thou art able to satisfy the longing soul. You are the answer to our cry. Life is empty without thee. Life is meaningful with thee. We pray especially for this one. We pray, our Father, for any and all of us this morning, knowing that you'd all have us to be willing and to be prepared in our own right and in our own area, in our own sphere, to answer the cry of our needy world. May we individually be dedicated to all of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.